This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Yesterday, I was having a discussion with some colleagues about the movie Gone Girl, which has been making waves in the blogosphere, primarily over whether or not the woman at the heart of the title is a good representation of all women. None of us had actually seen the movie, but almost all of us in the discussion had read the book. So we had a brief but spirited debate about whether or not we enjoyed the book. Then we moved on to the Stieg Larsson trilogy, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo books. And soon we were splitting off into offshoot conversations about mysteries, books that become movies, and other novels we thought our friends should really be reading. Books are like that. They're exciting to read, and they're even more exciting to share. That's why we love the Vermont Edition Fall Book Show. I get so energized hearing about the great new books our listeners are loving, the old titles they come back to again and again, and the not-quite-ready-for-the-masses books our local booksellers are already reading. So let's get right to it. This is the Fall Book Show, and we are joined now by two local booksellers in the know. Karen Pratt is a bookseller at the Norwich Bookstore in the Upper Valley. She joins us from our Norwich studio. Karen, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And Jenny Lyons is a bookseller at the Vermont Bookshop in Middlebury. She joins us from Middlebury College's studio. Welcome to you, Jenny.
Thank you for having me.
Jenny, I'm going to start with you. Kick us off with one of the favorite books that you have right now at the tip of your tongue.
At the tip of my tongue, I just am so excited to put in people's hands The Boston Girl by Anita Diamant. She is the author of The Red Tent, which was published a while ago, but very popular. And I think this is just going to be a book that a lot of people will enjoy. It tells the story of Addie Baum, who is a Jewish girl of immigrant parents growing up in early 20th century America. And Addie herself tells the story to her favorite granddaughter. It's very accessible, very well written, and it just sort of covers the history of women, that generation of women, in just such an enjoyable way.
And this book, is it out yet?
It will be out December 9th, actually.
So you've read it.
Yes, I have.
And you're already recommending it to other people, even though it's not technically out yet.
Yes, I have. I'm gearing up.
All right. So, Karen, what about you? Give us one of your top picks.
Well, I'm going to start with a nonfiction book that I'm really fond of. It's called Elephant Company by Vicky Croak. And it's about a Brit who moves to Burma. He's been in World War I. He moves to Burma in 1920 to work for a British teak company. The British teak company has used elephants to transport logs, which – teak logs, actually. And this man develops a great relationship with these elephants, and who have been trained in very – cruel ways for many years, and he develops new training methods which are much more gentle, and he really bonds with the elephants. And then he stays there for, 20 years or so, and, going back to England periodically. And then the war comes, and I'm shortening things up for a great deal. And then in 1944, the Japanese invade Burma, and he has to bring his elephants together to, one, get refugees, the British refugees and others, move them from Burma to west and north to India, and also to build bridges, which the elephants were very good at, apparently. It's an inspiring story. If you like elephants, you're going to love it. If you don't know anything about elephants, you're going to know a lot about it afterwards. And I just love this book.
And again, this one's nonfiction, you said.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's Elephant Company by Vicky Croak. And then Jenny was recommending The Boston Girl by Anita Diamant. And listeners, we are talking about books. We want to hear from you. We know you guys are all readers out there. You have books that you just can't wait to recommend. Now's the chance. You can get it beyond your friends and family who have probably heard you tell them many times now what you think they should be reading. You can tell the rest of us. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post your recommendations on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Nichol's calling in from Guilford. Hi, Nichol. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I've had a really good book here. Unfortunately, I don't know how to trim this thing down. But I'm going to mention basically just the titles of four books. One is by David Bellows, B-E-L-L-O-S. It's called Is That a Fish in Your Ear? Translation and the Meaning of Everything. It's a book about the techniques and what's involved in actually doing translation. It was great stuff, and it's a really entertaining read. Another one is On Food and Cooking, The Science and Lore of the Kitchen by Harold McGee. It was a winner of the James Beard Foundation Award, and it's sort of like the chemistry and underlying techniques of what's actually going on when you do cooking. The third book is How Jesus Became God by the New Testament historian Bart Ehrman. Finally, given that the book show, probably the book that's had the greatest impact on me this year is a book called Orality and Literacy by Walter Ong, O-N-G. It's sort of, again, trying to be very brief, it's sort of a classic study of the transition as humans have moved from oral cultures into printed and writing cultures. Just really fascinating stuff. Okay, I'll stop now. I could probably go on for 20 minutes for each of these books, but I'll quit.
Michael, thank you for the recommendations. We'll have to have you on next time, and you can just, you know, give us your 20 minutes of great books. Appreciate that. And listeners, if you want to echo what Michael said or if you have recommendations of your own, again, 1-800-639-2211. We're actually getting a lot of comments from Vermont writers who are recommending other books that they've been reading. Chris Bojalian suggested on our Facebook page The Zone of Interest by Martin Amis. Sarah Stewart Taylor, who's the Expeditioners author, she said, I just finished two particularly great reads, Americana by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie and The Lost City of Z by David Gran. She says, I also loved Green Glass House by Kate Milford for middle grade readers. Oh, says Sarah, and I'm kind of obsessed with Gene Kerrigan's Dublin detective novels right now. Vermont writer Amy Peachy recommends the work of another Vermonter. She says, War Stories, New Military Science Fiction, edited by Andrew Liptak, is an excellent collection of stories from some of the best science fiction writers out there, such as Joe Haldeman, Ken Liu, and Yoon-Ha Lee. Meanwhile, Andrew Liptak actually wrote in himself, and he's recommending other books. He says, The Southern Reach Trilogy by Jeff Vandermeer, Annihilation, Authority, and Acceptance. These are possibly some of the most terrifying books that I've read. They're well-written, fantastic, horrifying, and gripping reads. I'd also recommend Ancillary Sword by Anne Leckie, a second novel in her trilogy, and it's an excellent thought-provoking read. Her first book won just about every science fiction award possible, and another listener, Shannon, echoes that suggestion of Anne Leckie's books that Andrew Liptak wrote in about. Jenny Lyons, any of those ring a bell for you or light you up?
Definitely Americana. I mean, a lot of those I'm familiar with. Some of the ones that the caller called in with, I'm definitely interested in picking up. But I did really enjoy Americana. That did stick with me long after I read it. I probably read that about 3 months or so when it was out, just out in paperback. And it's a really good read, an enjoyable read and informative. I liked it.
Karen, for you?
Well, I read Lost City of Z, which is not a new book, but it's terrific. Americana also has been flying out of our bookstore. The Zone of Interest was quite a controversial novel by Martin Amis, I believe, about the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And I have not read that, but I've read his previous books. The one of the books that I really love, which is a difficult book, and I sometimes hesitate to recommend it, although every time somebody reads it, they thank me. So it's called The Narrow Road to the Deep North, and it's the winner of the Man Booker Prize this year by Richard Flanagan, who wrote Gould's Book of Fish. And it's about the building of the Burma – I seem to have Burma on the brain – the building of the Burma Railroad by Australian prisoners of war. It's a haunting and affecting novel, which is difficult in a lot of ways to read. I mean, the Burma Railroad was called the Railway of Death, for a good reason. It's about a doctor, Dr. Dorigo Evans, who is in one of these camps and has to deal with the ramifications of being a doctor in one of these camps and also in leading men, the prisoners of war under his command. It is one of the most affecting books I've ever read, but it's difficult. There's no question about it.
I want to double back. I was just reading a bunch of recommendations from Vermont authors, and one of them was from Chris Bojalian. He's the one who recommended the Martin Amis book. And Jenny Lyons, you know, Chris is an author who's done a lot with local bookstores to promote his work, to promote other authors' works. He was doing a book tour with Stephen Kiernan for a while. Can you talk a little bit about how you work with local authors?
Sure. One of the really fantastic things that Chris Bojalian is doing for the Vermont Bookshop and a couple of other bookshops in the area is making it possible for us to always have signed copies on hand and also to get personalized copies from him as well. So if someone wants a special gift for someone that's personalized, Chris will come into the store on a regular basis and take care of those for us. Ashley Wolf, a local author and illustrator, is also doing something like that for us. Vintage Pies by Ann Collins was written by, she's a local author as well. And we just find a great response in the community when we support local authors and have events for local authors. We had a fantastic turnout for Jim Douglas when he was here about a month ago for the Vermont Way. And likewise with him, those people are always available to come into the store and sign more copies of books. So the books stay connected to the authors since they are, you know, local authors.
Yeah, and you mentioned that book, Vintage Pies, by Ann Collins. We had her on the program recently, and she gave us some recipes and brought in some pies. And Jenny, I understand maybe your son got to bake a pie from the book, too.
He did. My 10-year-old came to an event that we had with her, and they just really hit it off. And Anne invited him to come over to her lovely house in Cornwall, and she taught him how to make a pie start to finish. He made the pie crust. They started with a custard pie, and he baked it in her oven, and they just had a lovely afternoon, the two of them.
Which pie did he make?
It's just called the custard pie. I think it's an egg custard pie, yes.
All right, Karen Pratt, you know, most authors perhaps don't bring their readers into the home with them and make them pies, but does it really help to have signed copies or of a book on hand? Does that sell a book?
Well, it can. I mean, it's just sort of an added fillip, as it were, to books that makes them a little less run of the mill, and people get excited. They always open the book to see what the signature looks like. And I had a man in there the other day, and he opened the book and he sees the signature and goes, "Well, that's not so great. I could have done that," you know. But you know, it's sometimes now we're also getting autograph copies from the publishers. So it's not just people who have got, say, 10 autograph books, but they actually come from the publisher signed. And people get a kick out of it. They like it. And then when we have events at the bookstore, which we do almost every week with local authors and others, we get them to – people can have their books personalized. And buyers really like that.
They do? That actually makes a difference?
Oh, I think so, yes.
And is that just because then you can give it as a gift and say, "See, I had Stephen King sign the book for you"?
Well, yes, and actually, there's one man who David McCauley, who has children's books, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, about the building of the castle and building of you know, they're very detailed architectural drawing books, and when he we ask him to autograph a book for somebody, he'll make a little drawing.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I was so touched by that when I saw that, because I thought, this is the coolest thing ever.
That is cool. If you get David Sedaris to sign your book, he usually writes something completely irreverent and possibly off color, which makes it, you know, either fun or a little bit alarming, but certainly unique. We've got a lot of listeners sharing their thoughts with us, too. Anna says, "Brad Kessler's Birds in Fall, a novel, is one of the best books I have ever read, and I read a lot." And let's go to Mary, who's calling in from Northfield, Massachusetts now. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you. I just want to highly recommend another author, Tim Weed, his book, Whirlpool's Island.
And Mary, if you're still there, why is this such a good book?
Yeah, can you hear? Yeah, a wonderful book. Can you hear me?
A little bit. Yeah, make it quick because you're a little bit in and out.
Sorry. Yeah, Whirlpool's Island, excellent read for adults and children, but kind of geared for young people. It's about soon after contact, the young boy's adventures with some local native people and out to Nantucket Island. I highly recommend it.
Ah, we got all of that, Mary. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go to another Mary who's calling in from Jericho. Hi, Mary.
Hi there.
Go right ahead.
I'd like to recommend an author that's been around a while. Jan Caron has written a new book. It's about 10 years, I think, since she wrote the Mitford series, and now she's writing them again. But this one is called Somewhere Safe with Somebody Good. And it is a beautiful, soothing, loving book.
Mary, it sounds wonderful. Thank you for that recommendation. I appreciate it. And Patty is calling in from West Charleston. Hi, Patty. You there, Patty?
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, I am.
Go right ahead.
Hi. I would love to recommend Laurie R. King, relations to Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote a series of books about Mary Russell and Sherlock Holmes. They're wonderful adventure stories, suspenseful, and you don't have to read the entire series because each book reaches a culmination, and they're just marvelous if you like any kind of mystery. And I'm a real Stephen King fanatic.
Well, Patty, I appreciate that. Stephen King fanatic and a Laurie King fanatic, it sounds like, even though the two authors aren't connected. Appreciate your recommendations. We're talking today about books. We're getting your top picks, listeners, on what you've been reading lately and what you want everybody else to read. And just maybe why you like these books. What motivates you to read a book? It's so busy these days. I mean, you can read a million articles about why we're all overscheduled and harried and too busy to read. So I want to hear why. What makes you stop in your tracks and think, right, I'm going to take the time to read this novel, even a difficult one, like Karen was talking about, a book that might be hard to read, it might be long, it might be dense, it might have very difficult subject matter. What is it that gets you to stop in your tracks, sit down and read a book or listen to a book? Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can share your recommendations with us on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. We all want some good tips, so go ahead and post your thoughts there at vpr.net. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. It's all books all the time today as we discuss some of our favorite titles of the past few months and the books we come back to for perfect fall reading. Let us know what you want to recommend and why. You can post your blurbs on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net or call 1-800-639-2211. That number again is 1-800-639-2211. Karen Pratt is a bookseller at the Norwich Bookstore. Jenny Lyons is a bookseller at the Vermont Bookshop in Middlebury. And they're both with us today talking about what's generating great buzz and sharing some favorites of their own. Jenny Lyons, I'd love to get another top pick from you.
Well, going back to what you just said about, you know, reading the difficult books, and people are definitely still doing it. There are still people coming in and asking for those books. And one that we've been selling a lot of is Being Mortal by Atul Gawande.
Mm.
It just is a book that you have to read. It talks a lot about medicine and how medicine has evolved in this country to, you know, where it is today, and the hard conversations that people are having about aging, about death, about how the whole just how he's a practicing surgeon, so he has a lot of practical information about that. And it's just a book that is a must read.
And that's Atul Gawande. And what's it called again? Being Mortal?
It's called Being Mortal.
And did you read it? You liked it too?
You know, Becky read it. I haven't had a chance to read all of it yet, and I've just read parts of it. But yeah.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Karen, what about you?
Well, there's a book which is not difficult per se, but it could be perceived as such, but it's really not. It's called Lila, and it's a novel, and it's the third of a trilogy. It may be a quartet. She hasn't quite decided, by Marilynne Robinson, who people may know as the author of Housekeeping, which they made into a movie. And it's about Iowa and a town in Iowa, but it's the Lila, the namesake, is a woman who was abandoned or kidnapped. It's a little unclear. And lived as a drifter for quite a while. And then as a young woman happens into a church and meets a minister. Long story short, they get married. And it's basically a love story, but it's a very unusual one because he has to understand her past and sort of accept her and forgive her past. And she, as somebody who was abandoned, has to learn how to trust. It's a beautifully written book. She writes like no other writer I know. And we've been selling a lot of them because people have read the two earlier ones. Gilead was the first one and Home was the second one. And it stands on its own. You don't have to have read the other two. But it's remarkable in this day and age, I think, to get such a well-written, spiritual without, you know, shoving it down your throat kind of book. And I really enjoyed it, and I think others would too.
Now, see, this is a problem for me because I have Gilead waiting at home and still haven't been able to read it. So, you know, it's one of those things where you do want to read that new book that's out that everybody's sort of talking about and thinking is wonderful. And I still can't get to Gilead. It's a problem.
You don't have to. You can go right ahead and read Lila.
I know, but you know.
Because it's also a flashback. So you don't have to, you know, read them in order. You know, I think people get caught up by thinking they have to read things in order, or if they have to read Wolf Hall before they bring up the bodies by Hilary Mantel. You know, we're grown-ups. We can do whatever we want. And you know, I have people coming in saying, I really didn't like this book, but I feel like I have to finish it. And I'm saying, you don't have to finish it, you know.
Agreed, Karen. I say that to people all the time. I'm like, read. Definitely. If you're not enjoying it, pick another. There's so
Life's
many
too short.
Books. Exactly.
You know, that's good advice. You guys are good therapists because I still have that guilt over. I mean, I won't even watch the last few Harry Potter movies because I still have not finished all of the Harry Potter books. So when they come on the television, you know, I run screaming from the room because I can't possibly see that movie before I read the book. Let's go back to the calls. We've got a lot of callers who are trying to get in here. Mike is on the line with us from Milton. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm recommending The Passage Trilogy by Justin Cronin. I guess the only way, I don't want to give too much away on it, but if you think Stephen King in The Stand and an Anne Rice novel. And my question for the women on the panel is, Justin Cronin was supposed to release the third book in the trilogy in October, and it got pushed back. So at first we were thinking just a couple of months, but he's now posted it's going to be like the end of 2015.
Huh.
So I'm just wondering if anybody's had any insight as to like why would an author push it back that far?
Oh, interesting,
just
Mike.
Out of curiosity. So
yeah, and so it's the Passage Trilogy you're talking about, and the author is, what's his name?
Justin Cronin.
Okay, so Jenny Lyons, Karen Pratt, either of you have any insight into why he might push back the release of the next book?
I do know that those are intricate books, and maybe the wrapping up of the trilogy was more of a monumental task than he originally considered. They are quite large books. Besides that, I don't know.
There are a lot of personal reasons why somebody might do that. And also, you know, we have these expectations that if somebody writes a book that we want, that we like, we want the next one and we want it in a year. You know, and that's not always reasonable. I think that sometimes publishers push authors to write too fast. You know, some things take a long time. Like the book that I was talking about earlier, Narrow Road to the Deep North, took 10 years to write. You know, sometimes you have to wait for good things.
We've got a lot of people writing in to share their thoughts with us. VPR's own Reuben Jackson recommends The Night Malcolm X Spoke at the Oxford Union, a transatlantic story of anti-racist protest by Stephen Tuck. Patrick recommended The Boys in the Boat, Nine Americans and Their Epic Quest for Gold at the 1936 Berlin Olympics. by Daniel James Brown and Daniel Brown. Patrick says, I finally got time to read it. It's an amazing story. And another listener, Charlotte, echoes that, saying, it's the best book I've read in a long while. Highly recommend it. It's called The Boys in the Boat. Sharon posted The Orphan Train by Christina Baker Klein and Major Pettigrew's Last Stand by Helen Simonson. Andrea says, it's a bit old, but City of Thieves by David Benioff has stuck with me for a very long time. And Melissa says, two of my favorites from the past year are Under the Wide and Starry Sky by Nancy Horan. She says it's about Robert Louis Stevenson and his wife, Fanny. She also recommends The Signature of All Things by Elizabeth Gilbert. They read well as companion books, she says. And another listener, Tracy, also recommends that Elizabeth Gilbert book, The Signature of All Things. And let's go to Abby in St. Johnsbury. Hi, Abby. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I want to recommend the audiobook of The Scorpio Races by Maggie Stiefvater. I've been doing a lot of driving lately, so I had the pleasure of listening to this. It's read by two people, the man and the woman, who represent the characters, and it's just so dynamic and moving, and it was way cool story. It was kind of one of those urban fantasy-type stories, and it was just good all around.
Tell me again what it's called and who it's by.
The Scorpio Races by Maggie Stiefvater.
Got it. Abby, thanks. That's great. I appreciate that. And Judith is on the line with us from Newport. Hi, Judith.
Hello.
Hi.
I think keeping with your theme of difficult books, I would recommend Richard Powers' Orfeo.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I think, one of the most beautiful books I've ever read, and I don't think I understand half of it. But it is compelling, and the language is so poetic. It's really worth the read if you read nothing else this year. Hmm. Now, the easiest book I read this year, but also wonderful, was by Fanny Flagg, The All-Girls Filling Station Last Reunion. If you have any Polish heritage in you, or if you are interested in women flyers during World War II, this is a remarkable book.
Oh.
A lot of fun.
Judith, that sounds great. Thank you for those recommendations. Appreciate it. Let's go to Monica in South Burlington. Hi, Monica.
Hi, thank you. I am actually calling to recommend the Ken Follett Century series. It's a trilogy. The last one just came out. And interesting, in regard to your earlier caller about why a third book is taking so long, I think the Century series has been amazing, and I kind of feel like he rushed getting his third book out. I almost wish from a writing standpoint he took a little more time with it. But I'm a huge Ken Follett fan, and I love that both my 13-year-old son and I have been reading his series. And I wish that when I was in high school, I could have read this instead of reading my history books.
Monica, I appreciate that. Thank you for that note. A couple more that we're hearing from people. Sarah suggested on Facebook, Revenants by Vermont author Daniel Mills. It's historical fiction about early settlement in New England with a bit of mystery and supernatural to make things interesting. And Fran in South Burlington writes with a plea for advice from fellow Jane Austen fans. Fran says, I have recently discovered Pride and Prejudice. In the past month, I have watched in full the BBC series from 1995 four times over. Now I am on the second reading of the book, this time the annotated version. My question for you and your listeners, I know there are many spin-offs of the book by contemporary authors, such as P.D. James's Death Comes to Pemberley, but as always, I suspect some of these are better than others. Can you recommend other fictional takeoffs of Pride and Prejudice that are of high quality and remain true to the original author's voice? Karen Pratt, besides Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, what would you recommend?
Wow, that's a tough one. There are a lot of spinoffs. You know, all I can think of is, you know, Pride and Prejudice with cats, or, you know, they have, some of them are just ridiculous. But I personally would stick to the original. The Zombies, I know they have done those too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was a good one.
I don't know. If I can segue a little bit,
though. I think there are.
Yeah,
oh.
Karen, we'll come back to you. Jenny, what about for you? And then, Karen, I'll come right back to you.
You know, it is a tough question, but there are a couple of new ones. Jane Austen does seem to be, you know, all the rage right now. And I believe Joanna Trollope has a one that's either based on one of hers. And there's another contemporary male author. I don't think it's T.C. Boyle, but there are a couple – there are some that were just published. I may have to get back to you and we can add it to the transcript.
Yeah, absolutely. We can put it right up at vpr.net on the show page for today where everybody can post their things. We'll also put up a list of all the books that we talked about today right there on the page. Just give us a little bit of time after the show to do that, but we'll make sure we pop some of them up there as well. And Karen, I know you wanted to segue into something else.
Well, I just want to talk about one book which is had me laughing out loud. Of course, I may have a strange sense of humor, but this is called Texts from Jane Eyre and Other Conversations with Your Favorite Literary Characters. And it's literary characters from Great Expectations, Pride and Prejudice, poetry, Emily Dickinson, Medea, Rene Descartes, and it has them writing in texts. Huh. It's a little hard to describe. However, it is hilarious. It is one of those things you might want to read out loud, maybe at the Thanksgiving table. But they're very funny and it's very clever. Of course, you have to know the basis of the story, but most of us do with Gone with the Wind or Moby mm-hmm. Dick or Pride and Prejudice. You know, we have the gist, and it's a very clever little compilation. I was thinking about the you know takeoffs of Pride and Prejudice. There have been also authors have written in the vein of, say, the James Bond books or you know, tried to further the series. And some of them are successful and some of them aren't. But mm-hmm. it's sort of an interesting trend these days.
Well, more on trends, more on books that you're loving coming right up here on Vermont Edition's Fall Book Show. Listeners, you can share your thoughts with us. Post them right on the show page at vpr.net. You can click on Vermont Edition to find that. Or call 1-800-639-2211. Tell us what you're reading and tell us why. What do you love about the books that you've just finished? What books would you say, hey, you know what, maybe you could leave this one aside, not as good as the buzz suggests, and move over to this book. This one's my favorite. You can tell us by calling 1-800-639-2211. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We're having a virtual book club today, sorting through recommendations and working on figuring out what should be next on our reading lists. We want to hear what you're reading and what you're just waiting to get your hands on. Fiction, biography, sci-fi, self-help, it's all fair game. You can call 1-800-639-2211 or post your recommendations on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. We've been talking with Karen Pratt, a bookseller at the Norwich Bookstore in the Upper Valley, and Jenny Lyons, a bookseller at the Vermont Bookshop in Middlebury. And hearing from so many of you, Susan says, the newest Archer Mayer is always a good fall read. I just finished it this morning, and that book is called Proof Positive, a Joe Gunther novel. Jane says, anything Maisie Dobbs. You can binge read the entire series, and spring will seem to arrive that much sooner. Why doesn't Masterpiece Theater dramatize this great series? Lisa says, Help for the Haunted by John Searles was a gripping and unusual, poignant mystery novel. And Maura and Patty both have a couple of books that have been out for a little while, but that they're recommending now. Maura says, The Liars Club. She can't put it down. The author is Mary Carr. And Patty says, Bossy Pants by Tina Fey is so incredibly funny. I also just finished 10% Happier by Dan Harris, a great book for learning about how to meditate. And let's go to Alec, calling in from Randolph Center. Hi, Alec. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to recommend Stephen King's 11-22-63. I read it when it came out, and I think that some people are reluctant to read Stephen King because they might think he doesn't fall into the category of literature, but he sure does tell a good story. I know my wife's book club, there were a few reluctant members to read it, and they all loved it when they did. And the other book I want to recommend is by a Vermont author, Shayla Shapiro, and the title is The Shape of the Sky. Oh, great characters.
Good. Alec, thank you for recommending both of those. Appreciate it. Karen Pratt, one more quick recommendation from you here.
There's a book called Euphoria. It's a novel by Lily King. Won the New England Book Award. I believe she lives in Maine. And it's about cultural anthropologists during the heyday of cultural anthropology. And it's based loosely, or actually pretty closely, on the life of Margaret Mead. And it's beautifully written, sort of a ménage à trois, these three cultural anthropologists in New Guinea. And it's it's riveting, and it has a very sort of a visual aspect to it. So you can really picture what it's like and what these places are where these, you know, basically strangers go to study people.
Hmm.
And they end up learning a lot about themselves, obviously. And it's a terrific book.
Well, that sounds great. Jenny, you?
I'll mention briefly, Let Me Be Frank With You by Richard Ford.
That's getting a ton of buzz.
Yeah, it's on Fresh Air. I think it's going to be on Fresh Air today. And I love Richard Ford. And this is a return to his imperfect hero, Frank Bascom. It's four linked stories this time, and they take place in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy and when Frank is in his 60s now. And it's a great read.
Hmm. Oh, good. And you're reading that now, I think, right?
I am, yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, so many people really want to read that one. That's Let Me Be Frank With You, Richard Ford's new book. Let's turn now to Professor David Geneman, who's co-director of UVM's Humanities Center. Professor Geneman, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jane. Thanks for having me on.
And we wanted to talk with you specifically about something you're actually sort of kicking off today, this evening, called the Mayor's Book Club. Can you tell us what it is?
Sure. Yeah, we're actually calling it the Mayor's Book Group. I don't know what separates a group from a club.
Oh, yes. Forgive me.
In this instance. But the idea is to give people in the community, broadly conceived, an opportunity to get together with the mayor, with faculty, staff, and students at the university, and others to talk about books that are relevant to some of the things people are interested in today.
Well, so tell us about the first book. Tonight is actually, this program airs live at noon, and this evening is the first event, and people can sign up. They can actually get a free book and have this sort of community conversation, go back and read the book. So how are you trying to engage people through it?
Right. So our first book is called An Idea Whose Time Has Come, Two Presidents, Two Parties, and the Battle for the Civil Rights Act of 1964 by Todd Purdom, who's a longtime New York Times reporter and editor at Vanity Fair. And this is the 50th anniversary of the passage of the Civil Rights Act, and we thought this would be a perfect book to kick off the Mayor's Book Group, not only because it's the 50th anniversary, but because so many of the issues in the book having to do with the passage of the legislation, issues of civil rights, and, you know, how bipartisanship works were pretty fascinating given the current political climate.
Why is UVM engaged in this?
Well, UVM and the Humanities Center are engaged in it because we really want to emphasize that the relationship between the university and the community is not just simply, you know, noise complaints on a Saturday or the institution up on the hill, but that we're an active and engaged participant in the life of the community, and we want to be a participant in and at times even a leader in some of the conversations that are taking place in town.
So what are you reading for fun, actually? I mean, we can't let you go without getting a couple of your other recommendations.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I have three relatively young kids, so I've been reading and listening to the Grandma Dowdle books by Richard Peck, A Year Down Yonder and The Season of Gifts. And we're right in the middle of a book by Mary Rose Wood called The Incorrigible Children of Ashton Place, which is about three little kids raised by wolves.
Oh, that sounds good. I bet kids like that.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun, and we're curious to find out what's going to happen with them.
That's Professor David Geneman. He's co-director of UVM's Humanities Center. He was, before giving us his favorite kids' book recommendations, telling us a little bit about the Mayor's Book Group. It actually launches tonight. We'll have more information up at vpr.net. Professor Geneman, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And we are still talking books, getting recommendations from all of you. Let's go to Allison in Woodstock. Hi, Allison. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. There is a fabulous sequel to Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice by Joe Baker called Longbourn, and I don't know if you mentioned it, but it's in many ways stronger than Death Comes to Pemberley, and it involves, and its story concerns the downstairs staff at Longbourn, the Bennett's house. So it's lots of fun and a totally different sensibility in lots of ways. And then a wonderful, wonderful trilogy that hasn't been mentioned is Jane Gardam's Old Filth trilogy, which is Old Filth, The Man in the Wooden Hat, and Last Friends, which is really one of the most brilliantly written sort of new trilogies I've read. So
I haven't actually heard about them.
I recommend all four of those.
Well, Allison, tell me just a little bit more about the trilogy. I haven't heard of them before.
They're great. They involve, Phil stands for failed in London to Hong Kong, and it involves a barrister who's raised in the East and goes back to practice law in the East, and it's and then it ends up with him coming back to England to live, and it's just a rich, rich story, brilliant, you know, just brilliantly written and clearly simply written, beautifully done, and it's a story we don't get to sort of like Americana. It's a whole new world for us to know.
Great. Well, Allison, thank you so much for telling us about them. Appreciate that. Allison also giving some recommendations for Fran in South Burlington, who wrote in hoping to get some recommendations from fellow listeners for fictional takeoffs on Pride and Prejudice. And on that, let's go to Linda in Brookfield. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? So for those Pride and Prejudice readers, move forward to the 20th century with, of course, Eoin Waugh's brilliant Brideshead Revisited, but also the greatly overlooked 12-novel series called A Dance to the Music of Time by Anthony Pohl. And then for anyone interested in the second half of the 20th century, the wickedly funny Patrick Melrose stories by Edward St. Albin.
Hmm. All right. Those sound great. Linda, thank you for those recommendations. Appreciate that. Karen Pratt and Jenny Lyons, I'd love to hear from you what you're thinking ahead to in the holiday season, because I know all of you have to think farther ahead than the rest of us do in some ways when you think about the selling season. Good gift books, good things that you think are going to be flying off the shelves that people are going to want to give to others during the giving season. Jenny Lyons?
Well, I did mention Vintage Pies. I think that's just going to be a great gift for people. It's just a really nice, a beautiful book. We have also in the store now a book called The Vermont Difference that's going to be along the lines of anyone that's interested in Vermont history. It was published in 2014, and it's a collection of 19 essays by leaders around the state, all asking the question, what is it about Vermont that is a little bit different, that is special and that merits national attention? And then there, for kids, of course, there are some beautiful books out there. There's a book called Before, After by Ramstead and Anne Matthias Argou, and it's a wordless illustrated book. It's clever, and it just sort of makes you think. Any kid that I've put that in front of has really enjoyed it.
So even though it's wordless, it's not necessarily, you know, a block book for babies.
No, it's like a work of art, really. It has beautiful illustrations, and it sort of takes the idea of before and after and turns it on its head. So the before picture might be an ice cube, and the after picture is a puddle of water. It's hard to describe.
But worth having a look at.
But worth having a look at, yes.
And Karen, you?
There's one book I have in front of me. It's called What If? And the premise is serious scientific answers to absurd hypothetical questions. And it's from a blog of Randall Monroe, the author. It's called the What If blog. And it's I'll give you an example of questions. What would happen if everyone on Earth stood as close to each other as they could and jumped everyone landing on the ground at the same instant? And then he goes through what would happen if that were to occur. And it's a whole book of these absurd hypothetical questions. And it's very engaging and interesting. The other book that I've been looking at as a coffee table book, because we sell quite a few of those during the holiday season, is a book called Collected, which is a large book of other people's collections, from matchbooks to bowls to hangers. It's just a beautiful book and a strange book, but that's what makes it appealing.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Karen Pratt is a bookseller at the Norwich Bookstore in the Upper Valley. Jenny Lyons is a bookseller at the Vermont Bookshop in Middlebury. Our thanks to Middlebury College for their use of their studio in today's program. And our thanks to Karen and Jenny, to both of you, for being on the show. We really appreciate talking with you.
Thank you so much, Jane. I could go on doing this all day, I think.
Yeah, me too. Yes, thanks very much to both of you. And before we end, we're just going to get a quick call in here from Craig, who's calling in from Grantham, New Hampshire. Craig, hi. You get the very last word, so make it quick.
Okay, well, I just wanted to talk about why we read, and it kind of seems like, to me, it's like when our bodies tell us we just need something green and we have to eat a salad, and or when we try and take a nap on a Sunday afternoon, we really know we shouldn't be doing it, but we just have to sneak away and do it. And a book just kind of rejuvenates me. Every once in a while, I say, geez, I really need to sit down and read for an hour or two, or just waste a day reading, and I seem to be rejuvenated by it.
Oh, Craig, that's a great way to end the show, really thinking about why we read and how it fills you up. It sort of fills your body. It rejuvenates you in that way you're talking about. I really appreciate that call. Thank you, Craig. Ending our fall book show here. We're going to have a list of the books we discussed in today's show up later on our website at vpr.net. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about bridging the divide between climate science and climate politics. Among scientists, there's not really any debate about whether or not human activity contributes to climate change, but in politics, there is. So how do the scientists who work in this field engage in the public debate? We're going to talk about that tomorrow at noon on Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.